Good evening. It is good to be together this Wednesday evening. See so many of you here. A little hard when the sun is shining and it's so nice and warm outside, but maybe some of you have blisters from raking anyway today and it's time to quit. But, it is good to be together, and it's good to be together with church family. And thinking of our service this evening as we're preparing for communion, special time of the year, looking forward to celebrating the resurrection. But between now and the resurrection was a death. And we know that Jesus did suffer and die for us in that preparation. But this last song, I thank you, Tony, for leading that and making us think through those words. And that soon may ring that awful cry, "Behold, he cometh." For a lot of people, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be an awful cry. It'll be the judgment, and they're not ready. But some of us, and I think hoping all of us here can say that it'll be a joyous cry. He's coming, and we're looking forward to his return, and we are ready. But I think it's good if we take an evening like tonight and examine where we are and where we are in our relationship with God. We can put everything on the outside, and we can put a smile on our face, but God's seeing the heart, and that's what we want to examine tonight. And Dana's preparing a message, has prepared a message, and the challenge for us to be preparing. I'll to have us all stand together, we'll have prayer, and have Dana come and pray for him. Father, indeed, it is a privilege to join together in your house this evening. Special time for us as we are preparing for communion and preparing for the Easter season as well, and we look forward to celebrating your resurrection. But knowing what you went through this week many years ago for us, and your journey in the garden, and your praying that the cup would pass from you, but you willingly accepted what your Father gave you, and you took upon yourself our sins. Help us to look at where we are in our walk with you. And I pray you would bless Dana as he shares, and give him freedom to share from his heart, and speak to us where we are. Just thank you for each one that's here, and Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us this evening. I pray you'd bless and protect them as well. Just help this evening to be a time of preparation for a special communion service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Dana. Thank you.
Good evening. Good to see each one out this evening. It's good to be here. Had a beautiful, beautiful day for working outside, and it was a really good day to be outside. Council meeting, preparatory service, preparatory service. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 23 through 32. This is Paul writing about what Jesus did on the night of the crucifixion. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 32. "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" I think that "show" there would be identify with the Lord's death, and also reverence or respect the Lord's death. You're showing that it means something to you. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What Jesus is doing here, this is the night that he was crucified. Friday night we plan to eat the bread, drink of the cup. Tonight we are doing what he says here. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would examine ourselves, we would not be examined. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat... No, I'm sorry, I skipped a verse. But, okay, verse 32. We should not be condemned with the world. That's where I wanted to stop. There's different ways of looking at communion, at looking at preparatory service. I like to think of it as maybe a checkpoint. If you have a vehicle that you know is low on oil, you know it's basically out of oil, but its scheduled maintenance isn't until 30 days from now, you don't say, boy, I hope it lasts till then, because that's when I usually put oil in. You do something about it. So I hope this isn't something that we see as, okay, it's time to do this again. I've got this area or this issue or whatever it is. I hope that's not where we're at. I hope what this is a time where we just simply, maybe you could say, take inventory. Where we just take a moment to look at our lives, look at ourselves, and see, where am I at? A few years ago, I don't even know when it was, but for preparatory service, I preached a message I called, Which Way Are You Moving? Where it's not so much maybe where I'm at as much as which way am I moving? Am I moving toward the Lord? Is my heart toward God? Or am I in a battle with God? I know there's those areas in my life that I just have not quite given over. There's areas where maybe I see slipping. And what can happen is over time, we relax. Things happen that we're not, you know, we kind of get in a habit or a pattern. And this can be a time, twice a year, for us it's twice a year, but at communion time, where we would take stock, really take time to examine ourselves. I like to think it's not as so much about getting ready for communion as much as it is living ready for meeting Jesus. Because that's really the big picture here. If I'm not ready for communion, then I'm probably not ready to meet Jesus. If I am ready to meet Jesus, then I'm probably ready for communion. So let a man examine himself. Maybe we could look at who we are. Who am I really? And who am I supposed to be? Which way am I moving? In 28 and 29 is what I really wanted to look at here. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Examine himself. You know, you can hide things from just about anybody. You can hide things from the preachers. You can hide things from your parents, from your children, from your spouse, whoever it might be that matters if they know this or that about me. The only one we can't hide things from is God. And God is one who does not force himself on us. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open to me, I will come in unto him and will sup with him. I will have fellowship with him. I will have relationship with him. But he doesn't come and beat the door down. And that verse is often used in the idea of witnessing to the lost in missions. The context there, he's talking to church people. People who name the name of Jesus, and yet they have that heart's door barred. You can hide things from people. And that is why he says, examine yourself. But let a man examine himself. You're the only one who truly can. You know, I could interview you for an hour and you could lie to me. I might not ask the right question, whatever it might be. The only way we're truly going to be open, my communication between me and God, the only way that's really going to be clear is if I examine myself. And it doesn't matter if I have the whole world fooled. And often when I think I do, I don't. But it's about examining ourselves. It's about examining myself. I'm the only one who truly can examine myself. And I'm the only one... I was going to say I'm the only one that it affects. That's not true, because my sin affects others. But I'm the one most directly affected. If I partake unworthily, if I partake with known sin in my life, if I partake knowing that I've got those areas I have not given over to the Lord. It says you're eating and drinking damnation unto yourself, if that happens. Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. It's a message that I've been. It actually came to me. It was a really neat moment. I can't even remember exactly what led up to it, but I drew a picture. Oh, I know. It was a book that I was reading. But he talked about the importance of total surrender to God. It's not, and I don't know if I'll do all of this or not, but if you think of a pie chart, a graph, where you have percentages and it's divided into spokes or whatever. You can have, and I drew this for my children, and I thought, that'd make a real good message, but we can have 80% of this circle shaded in, and there's still just this 20% slice that's not given over. And I asked my children, well, what we did, we actually put hobbies and, who I marry, when I marry, job, I don't know. We tried to think of a number of things to put in these. And I said, okay, if these are colored in, these three, but these aren't, is that okay? No. We keep coloring them in. At what point have I given my heart to the Lord? Is it when I'm at 95%? Is it when I'm at 98%? And I don't think we take this seriously enough and grasp it completely enough sometimes that Jesus wants all or none. Except a man take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me, he can have no part of me. That doesn't mean we reach sinless perfection. It doesn't mean that we get to where we no longer sin. It doesn't mean that the Lord won't show me something tomorrow that I'm not seeing today. What it does mean is that I've come to a point where I say, God, this is not my life. And what I don't need to preach the whole message tonight, do I? Jesus died on the cross. And he went to the tomb. And he rose. And in my heart, there's a throne and a cross. And Jesus is on one and I'm on the other. And when I try to scoot onto that throne, he goes on the cross. And it's that serious. It's that real. There's not room on the throne for 50% of both of us. It's either him or me. Jesus has risen. Where is he at? Where did he go to? We are Americans. We are busy Americans, and we are fast-paced and action-filled Americans. Something we are not used to is silence. Sitting and doing nothing. The next time you get in your vehicle, when you're by yourself, maybe you're like this. I'm not, and most people aren't. Try to make the whole trip without turning on the radio or CD or whatever it might be. Just be quiet. Doing the dishes. Your job at work. And I'm not at all saying that anytime you have the radio on or whatever, that's wrong. My point is, as soon as things get quiet, we get uncomfortable. We have to turn something on. And again, I'm generalizing. That's not always the case, and it's not always for everyone. What I would like for us to do tonight, we get used to noise, white noise. Noise that we're not even necessarily tuned into, but it's there. I said at work. When I worked in the factory, there was a lot of guys that have radios at their benches or whatever. You know, they'd have that turned up. You have a conversation, but the music's going in the background. You know, there's always something to drown out. And you're not doing it on purpose, maybe, but it drowns out your thoughts. You don't have a lot of time to just think and meditate and be yourself and examine yourself to communicate with God. If you go into the grocery store, you go into any store, almost any store now, that you go into, there's music. There just always is. Even if you can't hear what they're saying, even if you can't discern what song it is, there's music going. Look in the Bible. The only use music had in the Bible was worship. Whether it was secular, worshiping idols, when you hear the music, bow down to the idol. That was, you know, it wasn't always Christian music. But music was used in worship. We've taken music and polluted it and perverted it, and we use it for entertainment. Again, that's another message. What I'd like for us to do tonight is spend some time in silence. Tony said one time, if you hold still for 8 minutes, you go to sleep. So maybe I'll have to wake you all back up. It's easy for me to say, well, I trust that you've taken the time to examine yourself. And maybe you have, and maybe you haven't. And even if you have, and even if I have, I think it does us good to sit. It can be a time of worship. It can be a time of whatever. This doesn't have to be, if you don't find something to feel bad and guilty about, you didn't do it right. This can be a time of praise. It can be whatever. But I would like for us to spend some time in silence. I think it would be good if we would kneel. I realize for some of you that's going to be difficult or impossible, and that's fine. I understand. But I'd like for us to spend some time, and I would like to encourage that we try to be as alone as we can be. I know it's easy to be bumping elbows with the person beside us and whispering and playing with the baby and doing whatever, but really, try to be alone with God. So, I keep saying so, but let a man examine himself, and so let him drink of that cup and eat of that bread. So I'm going to ask you to kneel, those who can, those who want to. And really, if it doesn't work for you to kneel, that's fine. And we'll just spend some time in silence, and then we'll have a time for sharing afterwards.
Lord, I just lift each one here to you this evening. I ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be true to you, to what you're speaking to us. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy, the grace that's been made evident in our lives. I pray a special blessing on each one here tonight, Lord. I pray that we would each have courage where we need courage. I thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year where we're remembering your death, your resurrection, your purchasing of our salvation. We thank you for that, Lord. We praise you, and we give you the glory. We just commit ourselves to you afresh. We thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'm going to ask Sheldon and Lynn if they would come forward. Harold is not here tonight. He went to the airport to get Cheryl and Jerry, so that's why he's not here. And then we're going to open it up for a time of sharing. And if the ushers, we have the mics ready. If you have anything you'd like to share, just feel free to raise your hand and they'll bring you a mic.